You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The shaila that we're going to begin with is a shaila that might be obvious. I mean, it is obvious, but it's still my responsibility as a rabbi to articulate it. And that is the following. This is the last perek in Shmuel Shabbos Kilchos that talks about emergencies and how to run a government, how to run the police department, the fire department, al pi halacha. So the situation arises in neighborhoods where houses are in close proximity. Now, obviously, we could argue how close is close, but I think it's fair to assume that the vast majority of houses in our area are close enough that we would be concerned that if one house would catch fire, now here's the point, and you wouldn't try to put it out, and you just let it continue to burn, that would unquestionably endanger nearby houses. Once we have that concern, we're no longer in the realm of concern for financial loss, concern for a house burning down. We are now in the concern for people in a house not being able to get out on time or not being informed or sleeping and the like. So there, in such a case, again, it's obvious, but it's necessary to articulate. Let's look at Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa. If you have houses, it doesn't stand by itself. They're next door to each other. And there's a concern of Yishlachsho Shatis Pashe to the Tagia Labayas Shishbo Zakain, a Chola, a Tinok, somebody who can't escape on their own, with their own 2 feet, and you won't be able to remove them in time. If such a case is true, then Mutter, third line, Lahafsik Bo Azerma, Hashma, you could cut off the electricity, or you could put out the fire. Vaaf Mutter, the Krol, Gamba telephone, the Machabayesh, and is similarly permitted to call the fire department so that they could come and put out the fire. And now we have the important line, which is why I'm doing this now. U'mitzvah, the fire same din zeber abim. So I just fulfilled my mitzvah to let everybody know that if there's a fire in our neighborhood on Shabbos, it is permitted, given the proximity of our homes, to call the fire department. Period. What happens if 10 people on the block saw it and 10 people called the fire department? Guess what? 10 people got a mitzvah. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Next point. Now that we said that, let's talk about something that is somewhat common. Sometimes what happens is if you have a fire, if you have a candles on your, wherever you put your candles, sometimes you put them on a table, sometimes they're on a buffet near the dining room, near the table, sometimes they're in the kitchen. It could happen, it depends on the kind of candles you use, tea lights. They could, you know, get shifted, they could fall off, and sometimes a lit candle falls onto a tablecloth. So what do you do here? I'll give you a few options. You do nothing, and hope for the best. Option two, you quickly blow it out. Option three, you call a guy to put it out, because maybe calling on a phone might be only a Siddur Rabbanan with our LED electronic phones, as opposed to putting out a fire, which isn't a Siddur Aisa. We'll talk about it. Number E is what the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchos is going to suggest. Ner Dolek Shenafal Al Hamapa. A lit candle falls on top of a tablecloth. Or the way the Mishnah Berurah talks about it, the Shulchan Aruch is actually speaking about a tavla. Tavla is some kind of tray. So if there's a guy who could just remove it, that would be ideal. If there's no guy, then, I underlined it, Yinair ha-Yehudi ba'atzma es ha-mapa b'nachas, the Jew should not rip the tablecloth away such that it will definitely cause a psik ratio, cause the flame to go out definitively. Rather, he should take it away, he should pull the tablecloth off softly. Tahayinu sh'yikach es ha-mapa sh'haner aleha v'yarida samach l'ritzpa, he should lower it to the ground. And then he should empty off this candle so the candle is sitting on the ground, not on the much more flammable tablecloth.
I'm a little confused. The tablecloth caught fire?
The tablecloth didn't catch fire yet. But we're worried the tablecloth will catch fire.
The floor is dirt.
Let's say the floor is dirt. Or the floor is less flammable. Tile, dirt. If you have a wooden floor, it's not necessarily going to help you. It'll buy you some time. But okay. Now, this is mutter. Umutter says, "Kein af im kaiach shash." Right? It's possible when you lower this tablecloth with the candle on it, you sort of drop it to the floor, that the candle might extinguish, but it's not definitive. So, what is it called when you do something And your goal was not to put out the fire, the goal was to lower it to the ground. And it may or may not occur. That's called not a psikresha, but a davar she'eino miskaven, which we paskin is mutar l'chatchila. So therefore, if you lower the candle to the floor, even if it might go out, that wasn't what your intent was, so that would be, I mean, you're happy about it, but that's not the point. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, right? And therefore, it's going to be mutar l'chatchila to drop it, even though, then he says, and this is a great kula that a lot of people do not know. This is the kula of the night. If there is a chashash of dleika, if there's a concern that this candle will catch to the tablecloth, to the floor, to the furniture, which is a very reasonable concern, then mutar gam l'taltal es haner. Gentlemen, take the candle. What is it, mukta? Guess what? There's a halach in Hilchos Mukta, which we'll see in a minute, that when there's a concern for great hefsed, mukta is dispensed of, thrown out of the window. We don't worry about mukta. Take the candle, grab the bull by the horns, grab the candle with your right hand, full grip, walk outside and put the candle down on your front yard, on the lawn.
Put it back in the lawn.
Put it in the life there, put it on your front lawn, put it in the bathtub, put it in the sink, and let it stand in the sealed sink. Look at that underline. The second underline line is source number 2. If there's taka kayim achshash dleika, mutig al taltles haner, ulahaviro, and to shift it over, lamakum acher. But to extinguish it, that would only be permitted, of course, if there's a chshash of pikuach nefesh, etc. Where do you see that mukta is dispensed of, where there is the potential for great loss? Mukta. So that's this Shmir Shas Kilchas is based on the following Mishnah Berurah in Reish Ayin Zayin, where it talks about shaking off the tavla, the tray, where a candle might have fallen down on. It says, look at the Mishnah Berurah, source number 3. Afalgav. So first he says the svar that we said is about Davar She'eino Miskaven, right? You're going to lower it to the ground slowly, so it may or may not go out. That's mutter. I'm sorry, the source number 4. Where do you have this heter to move mukta? Yesh matirim. Source number 4, Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Dalet. Yesh matir letaltel ma'os udvarm ha-mukta, muktzim, kedei lehatzilim upnei ha-dleika. Omei anosim ha-baum le-gazla. There are those who permit, this is the Shulchan Aruch speaking, Shulchan Aruch is bringing 2 sheetahs. Let's say you hear a thief breaking into your basement, and you are on the upstairs, you're sleeping in your bedroom, and you know right next to your, you know, right next to your bed, you have your wife's whole jewelry box, her pearls, diamond ring, whatever, all of her stuff is sitting there on the dresser, and let's not talk about it. Let's say credit cards and a big wad of bills that you were supposed to pay your rent tomorrow. He's sitting there, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever, for your next tomorrow's rent is sitting there, and the guy is, is coming upstairs. So on Shabbos, if you hear the thief coming into the house and he might take it, or there's a concern for fire, then you're permitted to move mukta on Shabbos. Fascinating. Underlined. Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, it says the Shulchan Aruch underlined line in source number 4. The B'makom Seida Ein Lachash Leisa Mukta, but Yesh Osra. So it's a machlokas. What should I do? The Mechaber first says that we dispense of mukta when it comes to a hefsed gadol, and then there's Yesh Osra. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Lamed Ches, Shin Lamed Dal. I'm sorry, on that same simon, Ayin Le'el B'Simon Shin Zayin Sif Hey. Hold on a second. That's talking about shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. Wait, are we talking about doing it yourself or with a guy? We're talking about doing it yourself. Mishnah Berurah is talking about with a guy. Okay, fine. 1 second, please. Okay, we end up being make. I'm sorry, I'm a little confused about something, but we end up being make like the first shita that it's going to be mutter b'makom hefsed. Okay, That is as far as when there is a question of touching mukta. That is a concern as far as we opened with a concern for pikuach nefesh. There you're going to have these various kulas. Now, that was the first part of the shiur. We finished it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused, I'm sorry. With the actual candle, you just explained. So the candle that, like a Hanukkah candle, say that's the type of candle that fell on the tablecloth and nothing caught fire yet?
Yes, so you could grab that candle, lift it up.
Well, it fell on the tablecloth. It says it fell on the tablecloth. Right. What fell on the tablecloth?
The candle.
That's lit.
Yeah.
So it's light, right? So the tablecloth didn't light, right? Didn't light yet?
It didn't light yet, correct.
Okay, so just quickly throwing it to the floor?
Either you'll drop it to the floor. If it ends up going out, that wasn't your intent, that's okay. If not, then it's on the floor, so it's not going to catch. You as you sort of drop it, you let it roll off the tablecloth onto the floor, it will stay on the floor. The dirt floor isn't going to light on fire. Your tile floor isn't going to light on fire.
Okay, so this candle that's lying there, I'm going to get into that tablecloth lit for a second. Now we have a small little...
So if you have a lit... I mean, halacha l'maaseh, what I would do is if you have a tablecloth that lit on fire, which does happen, what I would say is the best thing to do it is, you have to have your wits about you a little bit, is take a tablecloth and run outside with it. That would be the best thing. Run outside, put it in the middle of the street. Yeah, don't put it out. Don't put it out. We have an area here. So just take your lit tablecloth. It's lit on fire. Ayve, terrible, terrible, terrible. Just run outside and put it in the middle of the street. Just stand nearby until it burns itself out. If some guy passes by and wants to call the fire department, that's great.
The scenario was just that it fell.
Yeah, the candle fell. You could take the candle to prevent anything else. Okay. Now we're going to talk about a shiloh that's really going to be the main part of tonight's shiur. The shiloh was that somebody knocked on my door 2 weeks ago, and they asked me the following. They have a grill, and they left the grill on. They grilled some chicken Erev Shabbos for L'chavet Shabbos, and they left the grill on. So now they have a barbecue grill that is on. We're not worried about the fact that they're going to use up the gas in the tank. I'm not worried about how much does gas in the tank cost. $20, $50, whatever. We're not worried about you spending the money on the gas. That's not our concern. The concern is you're not allowed to do Yisurim to save $20 or $50. The concern is, are we going to permit somehow to turn off that fire? What's the discussion? There are a few discussions. First of all, is it going to be an Issa D'Rabban or is it going to be an Issa D'Oraisa? That's one issue. Next issue, what are the parameters of asking a guy or not asking a guy? Third of all, what are the parameters if a guy is not available? Could we do it ourselves? Turning off a fire on Shabbos. So we have to sort of preface.
What's the
danger? What's the danger? So it was a barbecue where you could close the barbecue. So theoretically, it's not such a dangerous situation. I wouldn't consider it pikuach nefesh. Barbecue hasn't closed. Even if you go to sleep and leave the barbecue lit, you'd probably go to sleep uneasy, but you'd go to sleep. Right? If it'd be an open fire, you wouldn't go to sleep. But if there's a closed barbecue, but grill, then you'd go to sleep just a little bit uneasy. So how would I categorize that? I would not categorize that as pikuach nefesh.
The barbecue is indoors or outdoors?
No, outdoors.
Is it a propane tank or is it attached to the house?
Propane tank. What's the difference if it's attached to the house or if it's...
Attached to the house, you can turn off the gas in the house.
You're saying because you could do it at a distance. If it's a propane, if it's attached to the gas line, attached to the house, so if you turn on off the gas line 30 feet away from the fire in the basement of your house, maybe that's not called kibui.
Yeah.
So that's a great point. I don't... I'm not certain how we pass in there. What?
And my understanding is your motion might hint to that sort of idea.
Yes. There is a remotion like that. The world does not pass like remotion unless you're from the Upper West Side. You're talking about turning off fires on Yom Tov.
Right. Yeah. That's
a different shaila. I'm familiar with the Svara, but I don't know the parameters.
This is slightly different.
The halacha is, it's an Issa D'Oraisa called Kibui. There are two ways you could do Kibui. Kibui is, number one, putting out a flame, and number two is removing oil from a lit flame. So the question is, if you just... if you turn off the gas, you're not really putting out a fire. Putting out a fire is stomping it out, pouring water on it. When we just turn off the gas, all we're doing is removing the fuel.
Removing
the oil from the flame, which is that second kind of kibui. It's a deraisa. You're saying, but if you cut off, if oil is flowing, if you have a tub of oil the size of a bathtub. Imagine you have a little floating wick on the left side of the bathtub. And you take out a cup of oil from the right side of the bathtub, so that's nothing even close. Then we could, that's the svara that Mr. Bloom is suggesting.
That would still be a problem, I think.
Because it's through a pipe disconnected.
This is a pipe.
Okay.
Right, so the stuff that's on the other side.
So there's a svara. I don't know what to say. I can't answer you. If it's very far removed, it's 20 feet away, a pipe that's connected to a pipe, that's connected to a pipe, that's connected to the fire in the grill, maybe if I do it 2-3 pipes away, 25 feet away, that might not be a violation of kibbuy on a deraisa. I don't know the answer. Maybe yes, maybe no. There's what to talk about. Okay. But the case here was a propane tank. So it's not a pikuach nefesh. Is it a hefsed gadol? No, it's a propane tank. Is it a tzorech? I would say it's at least a tzorech ktzas. I would say it's at least a tzorech. Maybe not even a tzorech gadol, but at least a tzorech. So what do we want to get to? We want to get to make it a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, which is mutter, I'm going to rephrase that. A shvus to shvus b'makom, fill in the blank. We can fill in the blank numerous ways. We have shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. The Rambam, which is passed by the Shulchan Aruch that we had 2 weeks ago, said shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, shvus to shvus b'makom choli, shvus to shvus b'makom tzorech. So I think we might say tzorech gadol. So the question is, could we consider my nervousness to turn off this flame, or have the flame turned off using a shvus to shvus, double lisa d'rabanan? Could we, I think it's fair, we consider a tzorech gadol. Tzorech gadol meaning enough that I'm uneasy and nervous the whole Shabbos. That would probably constitute a tzorech gadol.
Offer a guy
the
propane tank.
Yeah, you could do that. Let's think.
I have a propane tank attached to my grill. Go ahead and take it.
Okay, so what are you doing by telling him? You're doing him to do an Isra of Havara?
It's Sarah Hatzman.
But what is he doing? You're telling him to...
Keep the propane tank. Propane tank's yours. You just have to pick it up and put it into your car.
So are you telling him to take a propane tank away? If you're saying, take the propane tank, that is... I mean, remember, when we have the case of, I have a beer for you in the hotel room, so he's turning the light on his own to get his beer. You didn't tell him to turn off the light. If you say, take the propane tank, well, taking the propane tank is removing gas from a fire that doesn't use kibbuy. You're saying, do kibbuy. You can't
to open
do that.
The fridge, that's still only
that's psikresha.
That would be psikresha.
Yeah, this is not psikresha. Removing, say, take the propane tank, taking a propane tank is removing, is itself
that's
removing.
Not, that's not
no, because by the refrigerator, there's open the refrigerator door, and then separately the light goes on. Here, taking the propane tank is, if I say, open the light in the fridge, that's usher. If I say take the propane thing, that's saying take the flame, take the oil, the gas, away from the flame. That's kibbuy. That'd be shvus. That would be an iser daraisa.
But it's not
mirul. Avi amir to do an iser daraisa. But let's talk. We're going to talk about it. Well, we'll talk about it. So first of all, just a nice source, another source that we just haven't seen yet inside of shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. Again, this is not going to be a makom mitzvah. This is going to be a shvus to shvus makom tzorech. The whatever nervousness we have about leaving a flame on for 25 hours and potential danger, potential loss, you know, the kids, the cat might knock into the grill and knock it over. There's always, you know, with fires, people are always a little bit nervous, rightfully so. So here on the bottom of page 1, we have source number 6. If you have on shofar, Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to be mechal, you're not allowed to do an issa d'rabanan to get your shofar. That means if your shofar is up in a tree, your shofar is on the other side of the river, you're not allowed to violate an issa d'rabanan and climb a tree or swim through the river to get your shofar. However, look on the next page, on top of page 2, Ava'al Yidei Eino Yehudi. But if you ask a guy to climb up a tree, a guy to climb to the other, to swim to the other side of the river, mutter, da'avi shvus tishvus, v'malkam mitzvah lo gazru. Okay, so now what I want is the following. Once you say that you're allowed to do a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, what would happen if the following gewaldige geshayla that the Prima Gadim is about to discuss? First day of Sukkos is a mitzvah d'oraisa to shake a lulav and esrog. I got myself a lulav, I got myself a hadasim, I got myself a ravos, I forgot to pluck the esrog off my tree. I have an esrog tree, my in-laws have a lemon tree in their backyard in Ramot, Yerushalayim. So for the same price, you could have an esrog tree. So I forgot to pluck it off. So let's think. What happens, asked the Prima Gadim, if I tell a guy to bite with his teeth the esrog off the tree? What does he gain by doing that? Biting it as opposed to ripping it off? Or cutting it with the pruning shears? Yeah, he does it with the shinoi. So if he does, if I do an amila nachri, and the melacha d'rabban, I'm telling the guy to do is what? It's really an issa d'oraisa. It's really kotze, which is an issa d'oraisa, to cut something off a tree, but he's just going to do it with the shinoi. So does that count as a shus to shus? B'malkom mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah d'alad minim, mitzvah d'oraisa, on the first day of Sukkot. In other words, what the Prima Gadim is asking is, when we say the heter shus to shus b'malkom mitzvah, I tell the guy, that's shus number one, to do another issa d'rabbanan, but it's not really an issa d'rabbanan. It's an issa d'oraisa that he's just doing it with shinui. Will that count as the second din d'rabbanan to get yourself a shus to shus? I'll say that again. The question is, shus to shus b'malkom mitzvah is mutter. Shus number one is to tell the guy. Shus number two, could I ask a guy to do an issa d'oraisa, but b'shinui, and therefore will be qualified as a considered an issa d'rabbanan, and that will be my double d'rabbanan. Amir l'nachri number one, and the shinui of the issa d'oraisa makes an issa d'rabbanan to count on the shus too. What's your question?
Why does the shinui in general make it go down to the d'oraisa?
Because when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah only prohibits melechas machshavas asra Torah, and anything that's done with the shinui is not considered melechas machshavas.
Okay, so
and there's not a violation of an issa d'oraisa in Hilchos Shabbos.
Is that only if the yid does melacha? Does that kind of translate out when a guy does melacha?
I hear you where you're going. Very good question. Dr. Al is asking a very lundish question. He's saying maybe the lumdus of Shavuos is that you, as a Jew, have to have a certain das. So if you don't have the das, it's not a malacha. But if you ask a guy, that constant das might not be necessary. Well, we'll see from the poskim. Their answer is going to answer your question. We'll see in a moment. Yeah.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Adrabanan.
He can go, for example, move the bed. He wants to raise the bed, lower the bed, takes an elbow, and he can push the switch.
Right. The post-com that you are relying on are assuming it's Darabanan. I'll give you an example. When I had surgery, I'll show you, I have a scar in my arm, I could show you some other time. So when I had my surgery, I broke my arm, whatever it was. So I had to go in for surgery. I went for surgery a Thursday or Friday. That's when the doctor wanted me to go in. I came out of surgery, I think Thursday afternoon? I don't remember. And I remember calling Rabbi Willig, and the way I was getting my pain meds was with a pump, an electric pump. You press the button and it knows, it doesn't give you too much, and that's the best way to medicate a person so that they don't get too much, but they get as much as they can get without getting too much. So it's electric. So I'm from a kind of guy. I didn't want to be very good at it. You know, before the surgery, it was easy for me to say, I don't want to use electricity. Once I had the surgery, it's a very different story. All of a sudden, I was looking for coolest. I remember calling Rabbi Willig, Mordechai Willig from the hospital. And he's a smart man. He says, yeah, so if you do it with a shinai, because meikar hadin. Most post-game, this is not for public consumption. Don't listen to it if you listen to the tape. Most poskim didn't assume that electricity is manizez drabana. Most poskim. It's a very complicated sugya. It's not a pashuta thing, but so could be, even if it is normally doraisa, it could be that it's not a doraisa b'makom tzorach or b'makom choli. Very complicated sugya. But let's just assume, just for ease of understanding, that's a shinui on a issa drabanan. Oh, that's our question. We're talking about a shinui on something that's an issa drabanan, electricity. So could I do that? So Rabbi Willig said yes, but we're going to learn the sugya of that the Prima Gadim raises. Look at source number 7, the second paragraph after my English. Heve yodea, the esrog biyom tov rishon she'en lo tzarech iyun im mutter lomar la'akom litlosh befiv ha'ukatz. Could he bite off with his teeth the ukatz, meaning the stem? Because we know, as he brings from somewhere else, that it's not normal to cut fruit off with your mouth. Oh, ushvus tishvus. You told a guy, and he did it with a shuni, b'makom mitzvah, that should be mutter. So what is this? What is this Prima Gadim holding? He's saying, he's leaving it as a Tzarech Iyun. What's his Tzarech Iyun? The Tzarech Iyun is, of course, if I tell a guy to do a real Issa D'Rabbanan, that would be Mokhtar B'Makom Mitzvah. But here, I'm not asking him to do a real Issa D'Rabbanan. I'm asking him to do an Issa D'Raisa, just B'Shinui.
It becomes not an Issa D'Raisa.
Right, but it's still a worse of it. I'm not like asking him to do Muktzah. I'm not asking him to climb a tree, which is itself only an Issa D'Rabbanan, Gzeira Shema, you'll do something else. I'm asking him to do an Issa D'Raisa of Ktzir, of taking an Esrog off an Esrog tree, but do B'Shinui. That's the question here. So, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, and we'll come out with our Psak. Let's say you have a Rosh Hashanah comes around, and you have a beautiful ram, but the shofar is still attached to his head. So, could you cut the shofar off his head and get yourself a shofar for Rosh Hashanah? It says the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shofar, source number 8, Imsarach letakin ha-shofar bechaticha. You have to cut it off, or whatever the situation is, that you have to do Malacha d'Oraisa to cut and to make your shofar usable, asr ayudei atzmo, those key words, ayudei atzmo, it's asr for you to cut the shofar off, afilu b'kli she'ein derecha omnen l'sakin bo, d'lo have b'zeh rak mishum shvus, even if you use an unusual kli, a kli that professionals would never use, and it's only d'rabbanan, it's still asr. You're not allowed to violate an issa d'rabbanan for yourself to blow a shofar. Says the Shar HaTzion on that Mishnah Berurah. Aval al yidei akum. But if you ask a gut, excuse me, mutar bezeh l'das hamechaber, who permits a shvus to shvus makom mitzvah, which is we paskin. So what do we have? We have a shvus to shvus. The paskins the Mishnah Berurah here in the Shar HaTzion that what? That even if the iser that you're asking the gut to do is in really an iser d'oraisa, he's just going to do it with a shinui, that will count as your second shvus. That does constitute a shvus to shvus. B'makom mitzvah. Rabosai, this comes up more often than you think. This comes up every third week in the mikvah. What happens? Friday night mikvah, the woman had to cut her nails, and she forgot or didn't do a good job. Let's think together. Okay, could she cut her nails? Cutting nails is an issa d'oraisa. What happens if she bites them? Or cuts them with her fingers and not a nail clip or a scissors? Okay, that's an issa d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to do an issa d'rabbanan if you're Jewish. The question is, could we ask a guy, housekeeper, or maybe there's somebody in the mikvah, they might have somebody in the mikvah Friday nights, to
bite
her nails. Ah, exactly. Or do it with her finger. Yeah, or not. When the scissors, it's not going to, you can't ask a guy to do an issa d'oraisa. It's not an option. Now keep in mind, with the mikvah there's another possibility. There is one other possibility. The possibility is, leave your nails long and clean under them very well. So this discussion is a very gigantic and significant and important sugya and machlokas in Hilchos Tevila, going to Mikvah, as well as in Hilchos Shabbos. What should we do on a Friday night? Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos, talking about a woman going to the Mikvah Friday night, source number 10. She forgot to cut her nails. One second. I have a much longer. No.
So what's the
Still a mitzvah. Still a mitzvah owner, I guess. Maybe, I don't know if you have to say that. What?
She forgot
to cut her nails.
Okay, well, let's say she didn't forget, but she just didn't do the same thing.
It shouldn't be. She forgot to cut her nails on Erev Shabbos, and she has a mikvah Friday night. So Masik HaMagen Avram, Magen Avram concludes, Shetomar le'ovedes gilulim, she should tell a goya, lito biad. Right, okay, the Mishnah Berurah had the social sensitivity that we don't ask other people, strangers, to walk over to us and bite our nails. Okay, Mishnah Berurah is with us on that. Okay, tell a guy to take it, pull it off with her hand. To have a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. V'miyev shar b'yad, if it's not possible with the yad, mutar al yodo afilu b'kli. The guy could even use a kli. But if there's no guy, then we should just rely on those who permit cleaning under the nails very well. Okay, so what we see from this Mishnah Berurah, what we see from the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shofar, which would also be the discussion of the Prima Gadim by the lula, the ester being bit off the tree, if you tell a guy to do an issur d'oraisa for a mitzvah, but you tell him to do b'shinoi, that should be mutter me'ikar hadin. So let's think. Let's come back to our shayla. Right? The guy left the grill on. So let's assume turning off the grill would be an issur d'oraisa. Let's assume. Can I tell the guy, turn off the grill, do an issur d'oraisa, but do a b'shinoi? How do you do a b'shinoi?
Just left hand.
Nah, more than that. You do it between your other fingers, you do it with the back of your hand, you do it with your elbow, you twist the dials, something, you do it with your teeth. Fine, okay. So based on what we found, if we could qualify it, the need to turn off the grill as a mitzvah, okay, it's not a mitzvah, but it's tzarech gadol, which I think is fair, then we would have a heter to do a b'shinoi. Rabosai, I want to share with you an incredibly geshmak lumdus that Rabbi Yosha points out. Catch up with you for a couple of seltzer. Rabbi Yosha says, wait a second, what does a shinui mean? Why does a shinui knock it down from the daraisa to the rabbana? You know what a shinui is, says Rabbi Yosha? Because, well, you know, let's talk about like writing on Chol HaMoed, for example. What's the whole idea? Oh, write with a shinui, write with your left hand. Why is writing, thank you, why is writing with your left hand make a mutter on Chol HaMoed, for example?
It's not malachas machshavas.
And a little bit more than that, because says Rabbi Yashiv, the whole point of a shinui, when you write with a shinui, for example, is that it ends up looking less legible than when you wrote normally with your regular right hand. Meaning, a shinui, says Rabbi Yashiv, it's not sufficient that you did it with a shinui, it has to be that the result looks like it was done with a shinui. If you sew with your left hand, if you write with your left hand, if you maybe even drive with your left hand, that's a different kind of driving and sewing and writing. But if you flip off a switch or flip on a switch with your left hand, with your elbow, with your nose, with your chin, right? When I went down the elevator with my wife to give birth on Shabbos once, I pressed the elevator button with my chin. I think it was my chin. That was, I got down to floor number one just the same. It's no difference whether you flip that switch with your chin or your elbow or your right index finger. So says Rabbi Yashiv, maybe the only time that we should be able to say that a shinui knocks it down from d'oraisa to d'rabbanan is when the shinui is not just that I did it the maisa differently with my, you know, my elbow instead of my right index finger. But it's when the totsah, the end result, looks different in what I've done. Meaning a shinui is not just the act that I did, but then the whole action that I did was a lower quality activity as defined by messier hand penmanship, a messier stitch, a less, whatever else that I did not as well. I'm weaving as I'm driving, you know, with my left hand or I'm driving, you know, some people drive, they're talking on the phone in one hand, they're shaving the other hand, they're driving with their knees. You ever see people do that?
Yeah, every day.
Every day, you're one of those people. the guy's like this, they're weaving, so if the product of doing a b'shinui is itself, it's a different kind of driving. Maybe that's where we have this heter. This is, look at Rebbe Yashiv, I underlined it in three words, you could see this chiluk. He says Yesh L'Hakel with this case that we described of the Shini. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro. Source number 11. Excuse me. Omnam Das Hagon Reb Yosef Shalom El Yashiv. Shlita, unfortunately, now it's Zatzal. Excuse me, Reb Yosef distinguishes third line in source number 11. Bein beis sugei shinui. There are two types of a shinui. Dibemakom shemachmas hashinui. In a place where because of the shinui, mishtanis, these are the three keywords. Mishtanis eichos hamalacha. You change the quality of the malacha itself. For example, when you're cutting nails with teeth or with your fingers, you end up with nails that don't look nice. Why does your wife spend $50 to get her nails done? Because she doesn't want it to look like somebody just bit them off. There's a shinui in the eichus of the malacha. That's a shinui. Ach b'makom, skip a line to the next underline. Ach b'makom she shinui hurak b'tzuras ha'pe'ula, where you're just changing the act. I'm doing it with my left pinky, but you just flipped the switch. It's the same. The light went on just the same. Ach shamalacha atma nasis b'shlemos like turning on a light bulb with your marpeko, I underline, with your elbow, abugufa, maybe there you can't be mekel.
So he would say, Yechayev Echatas, when you do that?
He would say, you don't have the head to shvus to shvus makam etzah.
And what about some the head of not being Echatas, if you did it that way? You have to bring a chatas
with
the government? I mean, is it a
falachiyah
there, isn't it?
So Rabbi Yosha was machmir, that does not constitute a shinai.
So then
you're
chayiv
with the rice. Okay, coin to Rabbi Yosha.
Either it is or it isn't.
Yeah, yeah, coin to Rabbi Yosha, coin to the Svara.
Every time we go
falachiyah? What?
Every time we go falachiyah?
Every time?
Any time falachiyah?
That's what I'm saying.
So coin to the Rabbi Yosha, we don't have this kula called.
So the oil in the hair is a mice, the oil in the hair took it across, you know, took it with Shizurabi. The mice was the other same, it got there, right?
Nah, it got there. It's a different, I couldn't, I have to squeeze it out, I have to get it out. It's not as much, it's dirtied by my head. It's,
why do we have that idea okay. That it's the result that counts?
That's Rabbi Yoshev's suggestion. Because right. He says, in order to qualify as a shinui, Why should a shinui not get an action down from Daraisa to Drabbanan? He says, because it looks different. It's a different result. It's a different act.
But if you're doing, and if it's the action that you're not permitted to perform, and you...
Wait, let's rephrase it. It's the malacha that you're not permitted to perform.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But it's a different quality of a malacha when it was done, b'shinui. The writing, you write with your left hand, it looks different. That's not the writing the Torah prohibited. The Torah prohibited you writing normally.
That's if nobody else saw you do it with your elbow. I'm not arguing about Yosha.
It's okay, everybody else does.
I'm just wondering. You know.
No, even if somebody, the light that goes on.
If I didn't see you take your nose and push the button, I would say...
No, the point is the elevator got to from 6 to 1 just the same.
Yeah, so afterwards I took a look and I said, you know what? That's his nose print on the button. That's not his face.
Still got the first
one. Oh, I checked it out. I found out.
But the malacha is the elevator going from 6 to 1. That malacha is the same result.
So biting up the trees is the same thing. You're getting the same esrog, but it's not like a...
The action of coats there is different. It's not a clean cut.
No, it's not a clean cut. It's not a neat... Clean cut. Okay. Again, this is Rabbi Yosha's Chumrah.
What if the shini makes it more difficult?
I don't know if, well, if we. I don't think we pass like this, Rabbi Yosha. It's a beautiful svara.
What if the
it's
shini?
It's very geschmack, but sometimes we, you know, again, that's why when Beir said a left hand, I said no. Left hands are not sufficient. You have to do like a real shini. But even so, I don't think we have to necessarily be machmer for this, Rabbi Yosha. So let's see. But with our questions, so my goal was to tell the fellow, get a guy. To turn off the grill with a shinui. Keep in mind that even if he uses his elbow, that will be great, except it will not meet Rabbi Yosha's chumrah. Because the grill is on, now the grill's off. It doesn't really matter whether the dial was turned, whether the dial, right? Whatever they call that, the dial was turned, the knob was turned with your hand, your right hand, your elbow, your nose. Point is, on, off. So I wanted to find another svara. Now, by the way, just a great svara, the following Eshel Avram, Buchach from Buchach, is a tremendous kula. What happens if you tell a guy, do a pishinui? And then he says, okay, no, sure, whatever you need. You're like, what do you want me to do? And then he does it, which is easier for him. So now, you know, can you get nana from that malacha? The lady at the mikvah tells, you know, Katrina, could you take your fingers and rip this nail off? She says, yeah, just look the other way, so I don't want you to get scared as I do your nails. I don't want you to pull your fingers back. And while you're looking the other way, she takes the scissors and she slices it off. Because she wants, she'd rather use scissors.
At the end of the raisa was done, that's what you're saying.
100%, the raisa was done. I asked the guy to do a shinui, and the imamish did it in the raisa. Look at the buchach, the Eshel Avram. Even if the guy does it on their own volition, you didn't ask them to do it. No worries. Less than, but we're not concerned with that. Okay. A nice kula. Probably because we're only dealing with Isser of Amir Nachri, and it was the guy who chose on his own to do it that way.
Remember, if a guy does something for me, even if without me saying anything to them, it's us for me to get better. So Kalsha came here, where I actually did say to the couple to do a machine, and I get my mouth shut, then it would be awesome. Katrina just comes over to me, comes over to the woman, cuts her nails. Awesome. Without question.
Yeah.
If I go ahead,
you're asking a good question. You're saying that normally you're not allowed to get malacha from a ma'isa guy, and here, certainly if it's a nisa d'raisa, and here you're getting direct hana from it. The answer to your question is that once you have a heter called shvus to shvus malka mitzvah, you're allowed to get hana from that. When did we speak about weeks ago that you're not allowed to get hana from a guy's work? That's when there was no heter to tell them l'chatchila. There's no heter. Go ahead, tell the guy shvus to shvus malka mitzvah matter. If you just want to, even though you don't have a shvus to shvus, and you don't have a malka mitzvah, you just try to hint, tell, then when you tell them directly through hinting, then there's the halachas of not getting hana. Once you have the heter, shvus to shvus malka mitzvah, you can tell them directly, Miss Katrina, do this malacha. That's what to the chatchila.
So for example, if I, just to be argumentative, if I am in a room and there's no light and I want to learn a seder, so for example, malka mitzvah,
let's not talk about learning is a little more complicated. Let's say that you don't have you have LED lights and you want to have a Shabbos meal and you can't have a Shabbos meal without the lights on somehow. And it's a shvus to shvus, turning on LED lights is a shvus. Telling the guy to do it and having the meal, you can only have the meal if you have the lights on somehow.
But if I have
you can tell directly, turn on the lights.
Let's say I have incandescent bulbs. Tell him to turn on the lights with his elbow, and therefore that would be mutt, right? That's what we're arguing at this point. So then there's no difference if I tell him to turn on the lights with his elbow, or if he just flips them on for me on purpose.
I hear you, Hara. Not sure. Okay. I just want to, the Orchas Shabbos in source number 13 qualifies one point. And says, wait a second, we're saying this big chiddush that if you tell him to do a shinui, this is like the greatest, you could get anything done. Anything that's a shvus to shvus makom mitzvah, you really, it doesn't have to be a shvus to shvus. You could tell him to do an issa d'oraisa, just tell him to do it with a shinui, right? I want you to do anything in the world for me, as long as it's makom mitzvah, even an issa d'oraisa, just do it b'shinui. So the Aruch HaShah says, that's only if the shinui is a reasonable shinui. But if it's an unreasonable to do this thing with a shinui, like if the only thing would be to bite my nails off, she can't do it with her hands. You'd have to bite it off or use a kli. Biting my nails off, that's not a reasonable thing. We won't give you the heter of relying on the shinui. If you know that she's going to use the scissors, she's not going to bite, she's going to use the scissors, so then we're not going to rely and say, oh, I told her to do a shinui. You know, if you know that they're going to do it, so you can't imagine they're going to do a shinui. So, for example, this could be a very important issue when we talk about an Erev. An Erev is down. Let's not talk about an Erev down in a whole city, because that makes it a little bit more pressing for Michshol HaRabim. Let's talk about you and your backdoor neighbor and four families on your block have an Erev in the backyard. Okay. So, for the kids to play and you to sit in the backyard, we'll consider that a mitzvah. So, wait, the tying, the line fell down. You want him to tie a line up back onto the nail to tie it again. So tying is a d'oraisa. But he could do a b'shinui. What's a shinui? A slip knot and a bow tie. Are both knots that are, you know, that's a shinui. Some non-professional knot. So could I tell him to tie a bow tie or some other non-professional knot? Well, what's easiest for him? Once he gets up there, he's going to tie that granny, you know, that double knot that's a convenient knot for him to do. So I'll be in trouble. Because since I know that what he's going to do is what's easiest for him when he's in the situation, I can't get away with telling him at a milu nachri to tie a slip knot when I know he's really going to tie a regular knot. I wouldn't have that kula. Okay. We'll stop here. And Be'ez Hashem, next week we have to do the second half of the equation. Second half of the equation is maybe turning off the fire is itself only malacha she'eino tzarich l'gufa. And that's another maybe, but wait a second, we're going to have the same issue. I'm telling you to do an issa d'oraisa, and it is an issa d'oraisa. It's just an issa d'oraisa that I don't really need right now. So that is that enough to be makel when it comes to shvus, to be considered the second shvus?
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.